In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Andy. Now, I have another treasure hunt, a little bit different this time. I have given instructions to various people around the church who are holding things for me. Just hoping this is going to work. I need another volunteer. I'm going to go for very excited little girl at the back in a red dress. Oh, red coat. Yeah, that's you. Lovely. What's your name? Amara. Come a bit closer, say it again.
Amara.
Right, Amara. So, this time, you are looking for a little bit of treasure, something very special, which I have again concealed somewhere in the church. But this time, we're going to use some clues to help you. There are going to be some arrows that appear, and I'm hoping these arrows are going to appear one at a time. Okay? And the arrows have a number on the back of them, just to help you. Now, at Christmas, the shepherds and the kings, the wise men, went to find somebody. Who did they go and find? Jesus. Well done. And we've just had a reading that tells us that Jesus was the Word and that he was the light in our world. Okay. But in order to find him, there weren't lots of people going, you're getting lighter, you're getting darker. There were some things written in the Bible a long time ago that said, these things are going to happen. And when they happen, you will know that the Saviour has been born. So I wonder if the person who's got number one could hold up their arrow prophecy. Number one. Well, number one on the back. Is that number one? Can you see number one?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to go and see what it says? Could actually look them up while we're at it, couldn't I? It says, virgin birth in Isaiah chapter 7. Get the Bible the right way up, Kate, it does help. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it says this, long time before Jesus was born, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A sign's what we need when we're looking for something, isn't it? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. So that was the sign that was written in the Bible a long time ago. We know the Christmas story, don't we? Yes, we do know the Christmas story. Who was the virgin that they were writing about? What was her name?
Mary.
So the sign was right. And Mary came. Okay, so which direction is it pointing you? Do you want to go along and see if you can find the next one? Who's got number two? Ah, right at the back. I can see it. Can you see it? Might need to stand up, person who's holding it, possibly. Oh, you are standing up, sorry. Well done. Okay. What does it say on it? I might have to come around with you because I can't see from that distance. Does my microphone work if I walk all the way around? Yes, Ali says yes, that's fine. Okay, so it says, visited by Magi. And that says Psalm 72. Psalm 72, verses 10 to 11. Get in there. That says... Psalm 72, 10 to 73. Okay, Psalm 72, verses 10 to 11 say, may the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. Did that happen? Yeah, sort of. Who came to visit him? The three wise men. So another signpost in the Bible that points us to Jesus, and it was true. Right, we need to find the next one. Number three. Oh, can you see number three? If we walk around the back and go down the side, we might find it. Can you see? Can you hold it right up high? Ah, excellent. Right, it's a yellow one, this one. What does it say? It says David's descendant. Okay, and we're back in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Who can tell me what a descendant is? What's a descendant? It's a big word. A big word. Does anybody near me tell me what a descendant is? Doesn't matter how old you are. Someone who's descended from someone else, so like your grandchildren or your great-great-grandchildren or your great, something like that. Okay, so somebody who comes from the same family but a long time later. And this is a really famous passage. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. So he's telling the people that he's going to be David's great, 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 imagine the rest, grandson. Okay, right, so we've got that he's David's descendant and we're going in that direction. I think we might need to go sort of round by the steps and see if we can see the next one. Should we carry on? Anybody holding up the next one? We might need, sometimes it's difficult to see signs. A number of times I've gone straight past a sign that's told me where I should be going. Can we see another sign anywhere in church? There. Excellent. Go for it. So, this one says, born in Bethlehem. And it's in Micah. And don't I wish that I had marked these before we started. Yeah, we're getting there. Okay, Micah 5. Verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, I think, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So this was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, but it said it's going to be born in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Fantastic. So it came true, didn't it? Right, I'm going to leave you to see if you can find Bethlehem. Okay. So in Bethlehem, the shepherds and the wise men and everybody who came to see found a treasure. Do you want to see if they've got the treasure for you? Well done. Thank you very much for your help. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you. So I've just got a very little bit of a story to tell you this morning. You can just relax and sit back, and you might even at one point want to shut your eyes. Please don't snore, even if you were up at 3 o'clock this morning with children wanting to open presents. Maybe nobody else does that. Maybe that's just me. Never mind. Once upon a time, a very, very, very long time ago, actually before time even started, if you can imagine that, there was God. There was nothing else, just God. There was no world, no stars, no land, no sea, no animals, no plants, no Christmas presents, nothing to see and nothing to do, and no one to talk to. If you sit very still, shut your eyes and cover your ears, you get some idea of what it was like. Nothingness. And sometimes, you know, today, people still feel like they're living in that nothingness. And it's a horrible way to feel. They might say things like, I feel lonely and I feel hopeless. And that is what it's like for some people when they're facing dark times. It's very difficult and it's very grim. And that makes us sad, doesn't it, if people feel like that, because that's not what we want. But in this nothingness that we're thinking about before time and before everything, God had an idea. He wanted to share his life. He decided to start something new, something that had never been done before, something that wasn't possible unless he did it. It would be good. It would be the opposite of nothingness. It would be full of light and life and colour and sound and beauty and excitement and potential and wonderful gifts to be enjoyed. So God spoke the word and created. And he made everything that we can see and hear and smell and touch and taste and even imagine. The universe, the stars, planets, galaxies, and our world. In Genesis, we find some stories about creation, and we spent our summer holidays here in St. Mary's thinking about that creation, all the good things God made. And we saw that once he'd made the world beautiful and perfect and complete, he created people to live in it and take care of it. He made men and women. And his intention was that people would live together and work together and celebrate and look after the gifts that he'd given them. They would have everything that they needed to live lives that were full and satisfying and that maybe felt like Christmas every day. And they'd be able to talk with God and enjoy sharing his life that he'd given them. But in order to live that life and to live in a loving relationship with God, they had to choose it. God gave them the freedom to choose for themselves, you see, how they lived. He didn't say, you've got to do this. But he said, I am giving you a choice. And we all have that choice every day of our lives. We can choose to receive all the good gifts that God gives us, better than Christmas, every day. Or we can choose to try it our own way. So this is a bit of a good news, bad news story. You know, the one about the guy who jumped out of an aeroplane because he loved parachuting. And the good news was that he could do that and he got up in the sky. And the bad news was that his parachute didn't open. But the good news was that there was an enormous haystack underneath. And the bad news was that there was a pitchfork in the haystack. And the good news was that he missed the pitchfork. And the bad news was that he missed the haystack. It's a bit like that sometimes. People throughout history have chosen to go their own way. Not to trust God, but to choose to look after themselves first and to ignore the Creator's plans and the needs of others. And so our world is in a bit of a mess. I don't think anybody would dispute that this morning. Parts of it can seem very dark indeed. And we might look at places in the news like Syria or the Philippines. We might recognize where and how things have gone wrong, sometimes because of men's choice, people's choice, sometimes because we haven't used the resources we've got well enough together. But we also need to look closer to home as well. We need to look at the choices we make, to the times when we're kind or unkind, generous or selfish, when we make other people happy or unhappy by our words and actions. Do we make the world a little bit lighter or a little bit darker by our presence and our choices? And that's where this morning's reading comes in, that beautiful poetic start to John's Gospel. The dark world has been waiting for God to come and rescue it. All that wonderful potential and beautiful living that God intended needs to be reawakened and revitalized. The people of Israel have had 300 years of darkness and misery, and they are desperate for their Savior to come. People then needed to understand that they had a choice and that there were consequences when they made the wrong choices. And that's true for us today as well. So Jesus came into the world as a light to show us how wonderful life with God can be and to clean up the mess that we've made for ourselves, to carry the consequences of those bad choices. That's what we as Christians believe Jesus did on the cross. There is always a consequence to the choice we make if we hurt other people, if we do things that we wish we hadn't. We feel bad, and ultimately the Bible tells us that our wrong choices will lead eventually to death. We will all die. But Jesus came to offer us life. When he died, he took all the punishment, it says, for the things that we've done wrong. And he said, if you want me to, I will take those consequences for you, and I will give you in exchange freedom. I will give you back that relationship with your loving Father who made you and who knows what's good for you. So Jesus helps us to reconnect with God. But John told us in that reading that the world hasn't always recognized who Jesus is. And that's been true through the centuries since he wrote as well. The people of his time didn't recognize who he was. A few did, and they became his followers. And Christmas for us is an opportunity to look again at the claims that Jesus made at his life, this remarkable person who came as a baby, who lived with us, this tiny baby laid in a manger in the Middle East 2,000 years ago is the light. And all we need to do is to turn to him and to ask him to show us the way. The word became flesh. That creative word from the beginning of the world became a person. And he made his dwelling among us. He grew up. Whatever age you are, if you're under about 32 or so, Jesus was once the same age as you are now. And he had the same sort of experiences of living with people when it was good, when it was difficult. He went through all those things just as we do. And John said, we've seen his glory. We've seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've had a couple of treasure hunts this morning in our service, and I hope they've helped us to think about light and dark, about the way that signs are there for us when we want to see them. But I need to say that Jesus doesn't hide from us. I don't want you to go away thinking this is a difficult thing, finding Jesus. Jesus never hides. He comes and he goes, ta-da, here I am. He shines in a way that can't be missed by those who are really seeking him. The greatest present ever given was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. No shiny paper, no big boxes, just a baby settled in hay. And in that reading, it also said that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And so at Christmas, when we remember that baby born in the stable, in the room underneath an inn probably, in the dark, not exactly sanitary conditions, Christmas can be a new birth for us as well. In the mess of our lives, whatever our lives look like, they may not look particularly perfect. They may feel a bit like a messy stable sometimes. But that's the place that Jesus chooses to come and bring life, to be born. One of our carols says, come, be born in us today. How wonderful that is, that offer, that promise for us of rebirth, to be able to say to God, I've made a mess of things. I'm sorry, I can't do it my way. It's not working. When I try and stumble through the darkness, would you show me your light? If that's something that rings true for you today, then I'd love you to stay and have a chat with me after the service. Or in January, we've got our Alpha course starting. We've got lots of leaflets at the back of church. If you live in the parish, you've probably had one through your door. Explore life, faith, and meaning. An opportunity to come and join us for 9 evenings and a day to sit and eat together, to get to know a group of people, and to discuss what you believe, what you understand of the Bible and its claims of faith and life and hope. And if you're interested, do grab a leaflet or look on our website and sign up. Come and join us for Alpha. My experience of Alpha is sometimes that people come with a lot of questions at the beginning and they expect to find answers. And sometimes they do. But sometimes those answers are so huge that I don't know the answer to them either. But I do know that in investigating them, in going on that journey, somehow Jesus makes himself known and rebirth happens and there is light and life and hope. And if you'd like that for next year, then come and join us. Amen.